Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It's Jono here for what quite possibly will be our last football related pod. With all things coronavirus shutting down the AFL and our fantasy teams, we might have to go to drafting our favourite bats and see what's going on there. And, well, he might just be the most isolated person in all of Western Victoria. That is the great Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good down here in the Wong. We are totally isolated. My job is amazing. I've got like about 14 hectares to myself. It's fantastic. No, it's good times for me. Just cooking up some spag bol with a bit of bat mince and paprika myself. So I'm ready to go.
What's a 500 gram bit of bat mince going for these days?
Oh, well,
cheap, I'd imagine.
You got to get it when it's on special. Jono, you don't want to pay the premium bat mince price. You want to get the reduced bat mince for $4.99. And you don't
just
really want
just
the,
a bit.
And I don't think you want the 5-star bat mince. You want the 4-star bat mince.
Yeah, it's always the 4-star. I was thinking even just fresh. I mean, there's enough bats here in Cranny West. Just pull the old 22 out and pop one off the bloody out of the sky.
It's amazing because talking to Dossie, he said there was plenty of bats in the cave. I remember how well that bit went down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, you might be the most isolated person in Western Victoria, but this guy is the most isolated person on the Isle of Tasmania. He is in Chateau de Statesman. Welcome to you, mate. How are you?
Day 5 of isolation. Thankfully, I like looking at myself and love the sound of my own voice, so I'm thriving.
That's good. And the wine selling, or a bit of a halt on the wine sales at the moment, mate?
I'm just holding off, to be honest. I just thought with the reduced amount of activity, the last thing I need to do was have an increased amount of drinking. Because we don't know when this is going to cease. And, of course, the first thing that happens when it ceases is not the crowds coming back to the MCG. It's not all the pubs and clubs opening. It's the rig-off. So I've got to be ready. I can't lose focus. Timing is everything. But, I've got a big occasion coming up in the near future, and obviously I'll be celebrating on my own. So I'm just leaving one night to have a bit of joy. The rest of it is good control, good management, and looking after myself.
Well, that's the thing. I've gone into the dad bod category, but if I can't buy food or alcohol for the next God knows how many months, I might have to jump on the treadmill here at the house and join you guys and get healthy and fit.
Can I ask you guys, obviously there's been a huge amount of panic here, and we've seen all the scenes from the shopping centres going for dunny paper. Are you guys hoarders? Have you guys got this pantry full of stuff that you're never going to use?
Yeah, it was weird. We actually did what you would consider a weekly shop, and we felt like maniacs. I usually go to the shops like every day or two sort of thing and just buy as required. And like if I feel like this for dinner, that's what I go buy and all those sort of things. Mrs. Fizz went out and did what we would consider a massive shop, and it was basically a week shop, and we felt like insane people.
Well, I'm, as you know,
I'm a meal prepper.
Oh, okay. So you go and shop for your meal.
Yeah, so I'll have my meal plans for the week, for dinner, lunch and that, for work and whatnot, and just base it that way. But so I'm at the shop once a week, and, you know, but the good thing is now there's fresh fruit and veg there, so I'm now popping down to the shops once or twice a day to pick up some more fruit and veg with dinner instead of just having the normal crap that I have.
And well, I will say,
Sorry, Stato. That's how I shop, because I buy fresh fruit and vegetables to put in my dinners and for lunches and stuff.
Well, and I'm, as you know, like my salads and juice it up quite regularly. So I'm buying all the fresh stuff. So I'm a regular shopper every 2 or 3 days, worst case scenario. But what I'm finding myself doing is not only is it the fruit and veg going in my little basket, I've never got this big trolley, but, you know, one tin of baked beans has popped in there occasionally, just thinking, well, what happens if things are, you know, a little bit less able to get supply of, or you do have to isolate all of a sudden for 14 days, what do you do? So there's a few baked beans, and I will say this is an argument we've got to have at some point. What type of sauce goes with your baked beans? Because I'm a ham only.
Like what?
I don't eat baked beans, though.
Yeah, I don't mind baked beans, but I just have the normal baked
tomato
beans.
Sauce.
Yeah.
No. I spend a lot of time in hotels. So every time you see baked beans, I get excited because it is that little treat thing. And I know it's not expensive or anything, but it's not one thing I buy regularly. But every single time I go there, it has to be that crappy tomato sauce stuff. Where's a bit of ham? Give Mrs. the man Fizz. Some pig.
Mrs. Fizz is actually a big baked bean fan.
Ask her what flavour she likes.
Because she's a fuckhead. And I like the tomato sauce one, but she's buying salt reduced. The other day she bought sugar reduced.
What?
Yeah, and I took one to work, and sugar reduced is the woke, man. It is salt reduced I can live with, but sugar reduced is...
Is it it's part of wholemeal pasta?
I'm not a huge fan of produced food, so pre-produced food. But whenever they take salt out, I just can't stand the flavour. Now, ironically, everything I cook, I don't worry about putting salt on. It's very occasionally I put salt on anything. But why is real food not requiring it, but manufactured or produced food, processed food?
Preservatives, my friend. Preservatives.
No, but see, this is interesting because I used to be a chef and you basically salt everything. Like, if you're a chef, everything gets salt. And you don't even call it salt, you call it seasoning. My friend, that is the distinction.
But, inside knowledge.
Yeah, because it brings out the flavour, draws out the flavour, as they say in the classics.
Okay.
As George Kovas would say before he didn't pay his staff.
I reckon food has good flavour.
Oh, you're probably not
next
wrong.
Next week's Pos decided.
If you've ever had a steak in a pub, it's got fucking salt on it, man.
Fair enough.
Well, next week's show is decided. It's our cooking draft doctors. We're going to be drafting all things food.
I still think that we should put out a cookbook.
Yes, agreed.
We trick people into giving us vegan recipes to get into the listener league.
Well, if it's anything like the old cookbooks of the 70s and 80s, you know, the footy players with their carbonara and that sort of thing, we should just have pictures of ourselves holding it up. finished product.
I tell you what, if we do get shut down, so we get a forced shutdown in this country, that's what we should do. Spend a day each doing a couple of recipes and set up the Draft Doctor's cookbook.
We should just do
it'll all be pasta and rice because that's what all the fucking hoarders have got, so easy.
Now, I think my thing is like I do this quinoa, broccoli, corn, cold salad. It's like a side dish, but you could have it as a lunch. And it's just the ducks. I ought to got into Listener League with it. That's how good it is.
That's it. Coming soon. All right. Look, we are going to go all year round. We will not stop. I know some of the others are stopping, but in these hard times, we need a bit of fun like we're having right now just to get you through some hard times. So, look, there was actually a round of football played on the weekend, and we're just going to go quickly through it and just have some hot takes to see what we saw. I mean, the games that I watched, it was pretty much glorified training. The tackles were down, possession was down. I know we had the shortened quarters and that, but it just didn't seem as willing as we would have seen for a round one, so maybe the players got a heads up beforehand. Who the hell knows, but kicking off with the Tigers and Blues, what did you guys notice? I know we went early on the Pitonet season, but it looks like Cruz could be back anytime soon.
Pino season it is. Look, first thing, I need to make an announcement with this. So the top scorer of the night was someone that I ranked pretty lowly in my defenders. And the biggest rationale behind that was 2 years off of footy. But Doherty had the role, got loose and played that loose man in defence, which is perfect for him. And he carved up. When you're talking a shortened game, so what they're saying is 95 was equivalent to 119. So I was wrong. You suck show. It's still on the rankings that I've got him down in the teens.
Can you stop clicking your fucking pen, whoever's doing that?
That was me.
I have to edit that.
I was being sad because I made a bad call.
And with Nick Newman, do you reckon that's affected him with that? Because Petrescu's Seaton seemed to go pretty well coming off that back line. And we saw Wiedering give the handsome one an absolute bath on that first game as well. So I reckon Newman's in for a bit of a tough season this year.
Well, his second half was absolutely wonderful, to be honest. His first half was disgraceful. So he scored 50 points in a reduced game in the second half. So that's actually looking pretty good. I don't know why that changed. But he actually only played 76 minutes game time out of a possible 100 minutes. So that's pretty low when you're talking a shortened game. So that was interesting. But I will say, at halftime, I was saying, wow, Petrescu, Seaton, Simpson and Newman were all trash in scoring, but Petrescu, Seaton looked good, passed the eye test, even though he only scored a 59, so it wasn't that crash hot. So outside Kaz Bolt, who really got a bump because Cruiser was down, let's face facts, Martin, who looked really impressive, Cripps, who was just normally Cripps, and Doherty, there wasn't too much to write home about for the Carlton Footy Club.
No, yeah, Jack Martin, as I said in an earlier pod, that after that first Marsh series, I was all in on him, and yeah, he
sleeper,
delivered. But
sleeper.
Yeah, four goals to go on top of his possessions. Sustainable? Unlikely.
Yeah, that's the big problem. Like, I really like Jack Martin as well, but four goals to get to 86, that's a worry. Stato, what you're saying about SPS, and this is what we're going to see across the round. 59 Dream Team, 113 Supercoach. Mm. Like, the Supercoach points were fucking ridiculous this week. Like, absolutely ridiculous. Some we won on, some we lost on, and that's fine. That's the nature of the beast. But, man, the four goals for Jack Martin, hard to sustain. Much like we'll see on the other side is Shia Bolton. He was a great sleeper for us coming into the year. Didn't have the role in the preseason, but the goals got him there. Is that, I mean, if you're in a good team and you're a forward, you should get a goal bump. Is that going to be something we should pay attention to?
Yeah, but I think it's still going to have, any small forward's going to have their ups and downs. And that's just one thing we need to pay attention to. It's actually having the right matchup. So you're streaming him rather than selecting him as an F3, F4.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's not throwing shade or anything like that. But it's, so I'll look at GWS or Richmond or someone who's going to have a winning team. You would expect. What am I going to get from my F4? Is it 65?
Yeah.
Like, yep. Is that a good score?
Yeah, probably is. So a 65 is an equivalent 80, so it's actually a good score.
Yeah, right. So if my player kicks two goals to go along with their dozen disposals, that probably puts them into the massive bracket.
Yep, absolutely. And the interesting part for me was what happened with Tom Lynch?
He got an absolute bath by Wiedering. Absolute bath. Wiedering had one out of the... Well, it looked like the Wiedering of old, just a very solid fullback there. And just on that small forward thing, I think with Supercoach, those small forwards had kicking two or three goals, the impact, especially early on, is going to scale them up, especially with those shortened games as well, I think.
But can we move on to the next game? Because it was absolutely superb, Jono. Friday night.
Essendon Dockers, absolutely brilliant. Don't know what happened on Friday night. I passed out. No. Well, it just looked like, especially on the Thursday night game, Richmond came to play, Collingwood came to play, and the other two teams just, they were still getting out of first gear. It was just absolutely putrid stuff from the Bulldogs. Yeah, they had the roof open there at the Marvels and a little bit slippery, but hey, Grundy went to town against his old nemesis there in Tim English, and it looks like that's going to be set to continue against old Timmy Boy, I think. Those more established ruckmans are going to get the wood on him if we do play footy again this year. And I think I was the early truther on Jeremy Howe and getting back to his best. And
Very good.
I think I was, Steve. Don't you give me that look.
Oh, well, and, I came on along for the ride then, if that's anything.
Yeah, I think it was me, but anyway, I'll take credit for it. But he was just intercepting everything left, right and centre in that defence after a pretty poor year last year. Pendles was Pendles, Sidebum was Sidebum, and the Dogs had an absolute mare.
And Bevo, what did he do to our boy Dunkley?
Well, I called it. He's going to take a hit, and he did take a hit. But it's also what Bevo did in the other place of the ground. He had Ryan Gardner, who's not up to AFL level playing full back, and they just got smashed out of the middle and just didn't touch the ball, the Bulldogs. Simple as that. Like, absolutely poleaxed in clearances and everything. So you don't get your hands on the ball, you don't score.
And a few people would have streamed Norton, you would have thought.
I'll be honest, I was high on Norton coming into the year. As soon as he had that knee clean up, that was it. And it's something I've learned. You can't have someone who hasn't had a preseason.
Agreed.
And what was really interesting
is, look at Jack Viney. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting was Jack McRae actually started on the bench for this game. Bailey Smith took probably the first half dozen CBAs before McRae actually got in there. So I don't know if that was just Bevo being Bevo and tinkering or what, but it was quite interesting that McRae was on the bench, and so was Caleb Daniel. He was on the pine too at the start of the match as well.
Yeah, defenders against Collingwood, still a thing. Crows, yep. Smashed. Like,
yeah, he got equivalent 99. So he got 79, which was equivalent 99. So it's pretty impressive by Crozier. So you just got to stream any group of defenders against Collingwood.
Even Keith, even Bailey Williams. My God.
Oh, yeah. How did he get a game?
It's hard to believe.
Photos. He's got and photos of Bevo doing something.
I'll be honest. I actually think Tim English is a buy candidate. And that might be a hot take. He had a really good second half. And people forget, he's going up against the premier ruckman in the league. Like, to me, he showed out well in the second half. Like, maybe they didn't have things right in the first half. So I actually think he's a good buy candidate. Super low.
I'm sure he was single figures at half time and ended up with a 59.
Oh, yeah.
Was a great meme target on Friday night, but
he was.
Buy target now.
All right, we'll move on to the Essendon and Dockers game. It wasn't actually too bad of a game to actually watch, but Dylan Shield, the man who is hopeless with his disposal efficiency, just hitting targets left, right and centre, and racked up the pill, 35 touches, 122 Dream Team, 163 Supercoach, if you don't mind. And it was 1 a.m. season all over again.
Yes.
He actually... I think in the group chat, someone asked, is it Andy McGhost or Andy McGoat? And it certainly was the goat. And I was sort of in and out of this game and didn't really see it all. But did that affect Zach Merritt's time in the middle at all?
Yeah, they all shared the load. So McGoat only had 76 minutes game time and pumped out a 92, which is quite incredible. So they were actually in a high rotation. So they looked really good first half, and then Frio sort of flicked the switch. I actually had more concerns the other side, so we've all been talking up Brayshaw's season, but it was Brayshaw needs a break in the season was more to the point. He struggled to find the pill, and when he got the pill, he did not use it well. Chera was exactly the same, just didn't get much of it at all. And Mr. Ryan, where were you, sir? 85 minutes for a massive 28.
Oh, I'd one mark. I'd suspect he's just playing more key than free.
Yep, no doubt. And there's a couple out, and there's a reason why for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And your man Darcy wasn't great, and of course that just gave the opportunity to the guy that I streamed in most of my leagues, which was Mr. Lobb. He just looks fantastic and taken contested pack marks. I'd love to see what his super coach score was.
133.
There you go. Impressive game by him. And the other one that needs a bit of a tick is Bewley. He was really good. And for those that got him really late in draft or off the waiver wire, got a great return, and his wing role is real. Of course, might come under a little bit of competition when they have the rest of the season, if a couple of the players come back. But he was by far and away their best wingman option and a big, booming left footer. What was his super coach score, Jono?
For Bewley, 95.
Yeah, impressive game.
Yeah. Yeah, Rory Lobb's probably going to go down as my biggest whiff of the season, to be honest. He didn't skip a beat in the preseason, and it just didn't continued. But it felt like the role was going to be good enough for guys like Brayshaw. Chera I was always down on, but Brayshaw felt like it couldn't miss.
Mm.
It's one game.
I was the same.
It's one game. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That's just the most heinous expression I've ever heard.
But I will say, my biggest issue is not how well he played, because if he's got the right role, he'll get it. But his time on ground was so tiny. It was unbelievable.
It's shocking. It is absolutely shocking for a club that is absolutely rebuilding, that gets a get-out-of-jail-free card with a new coach. I can't understand it. But again, that's a draft pick who was selected under the previous coach.
And I will say, he has the least time on ground for any player of both teams. So to me, that being continuing says one thing, maybe he doesn't have the tank yet.
The reports say he does. The preseason said he does. I just think, J-Lo out.
Oh, sorry, there is someone that had less time than him. Apologise, second lowest game time on ground.
Get it. Fuck off, Long Muir.
Oh, come on, mate.
Sure.
You've got to back him.
He's come from the Buckley coaching tree, so he's out. He's out.
The fantasy world needs Brayshaw season.
They do. In these times.
He's coming. All right, moving on to the Crows and the Swans. I actually did not see one iota of this game, but going off the scores, I'm going to suggest it was Heaney season playing forward, because he snagged four goals and absolutely kicked it out of the park.
Blonde bombshell, and I will say there was only one person better on the ground, and that was my boy, Lukey Barker. He was absolutely terrific. Can you tell me his super coach score? Because it must be massive.
125.
Oh, I was expecting
Heaney
more
outscored
than that.
Him by 27.
Well, Naismith would have been close. He was in the 120s, wasn't he?
121.
Yeah. So, and Papley looked superb as well. Unfortunately, my man Harry Cunningham didn't do enough to stick it up Dossie boy, but scoring more than Rowbottom made me happy at least. For Adelaide, they were just... I was regretting not backing in my Laird move for most of the game, but he only ended up with 70 points. Only 70 from Rory Laird. But Brody Smith had all the time in the world in the guts and just couldn't get his hands on it. Hurt himself late in the second quarter, but he was on 9 points at the end of the first half. 9 points, Brody Smith. So that's your D2, if I remember correctly there, Steve.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's bad times. Bad times. And look the goods in the preseason. But one thing I wonder is that the players who rely on their fitness, if the games are shorter, does that impact their ability to score?
Yes, and Whitfield types, Scully types are going to get hurt.
Yeah, those guys who are going to rack it up at the end of the quarter with their running capacity.
And it was good to see that Bryce Gibbs played another Bryce Gibbs game and played most of the game and done a massive 14. Was he on your starting field?
Who?
In the keeper? You.
Me?
He was long part of the old Frankston boys.
I know he was in my older brother's home league starting team. And
did I have
nice 16 on field for my older brother in our home league. So that's a big yikes there for Bryce Gibbs. Was there any word on the Tex Walker hashtag more midtime role for him? Or was it just a bit of a myth in this game?
There was an article that came out less than 24 hours before the game saying the wing experiment wasn't going to happen.
Well, shit, I better drop him then.
And a lot of people would have spent a very early draft pick on O'Brien. Although he did some good things here, it's another one of those players. He's got a fantastic tank for a ruckman. So that extra 20 minutes in a game time is where he can really add to his score. Only a 63, they would be hurting with probably around three draft picks.
Are we going to see some pretty pox scores? Well, I suppose when we see football, it'll be colder, but if we did continue on, we would have seen these pox scores because the game's quick at the moment, so there's less stoppages, players are fitter.
Naismith scored 78.
Run again.
Yeah, we had good scores by Ruckman, so yeah. It's just a case of he's one of those that have got the big tank. Can I say Andy McGoat and Callum Mills both played pretty good games on the weekend?
Who was hating on Callum Mills? No one.
Oh, I've only copped it for about 3 years.
I love Callum Mills.
It's taken a little bit of time, but he's looking good this year.
I think he settled in. Like, well, you know what was great for him was Heath Grundy fucked off. Like one of the greatest backmen of the last 10 years.
And do we think the Jake Lloyd rot's going to be a thing, or is that just bipartisan, just shit scoring and how the game played?
Yeah, I don't know. I need to see more data, to be fair, but I avoided him, especially in the off-brand type stuff, and I was never going to use a first-round draft pick, as many did, to actually pick up a defender. I was always, if I could get Grundy, I was always taking him. Other than that, I was always going to go a big midfielder. But, yeah, so, look, he was never going to capture his equivalent score, an average of 107, and whatever that's going to translate to in the smaller time. But I wouldn't have thought I would see a 55 from him, but maybe it's a share role because that's what it seemed to look like.
Did anyone else notice that teams weren't pissing around in the back line? Like, they were generally trying to move the ball forward with the first possession out of defence. Yeah.
More
and
attacking.
I actually thought the scores reflected that.
Yep.
Like, considering the games were shorter, I thought the scores were actually reasonable.
And can I also say that Dossie's boy, Jordan Dawson, probably struggled to put as much score on the board as well.
Well, you hate to see it. Would hate him for me, my boy.
Yeah, well, I reckon he was Doss's boy in the first half and Steve's boy in the second half.
GWS and Geelong, actually, you really enjoyed this game. It was fast pace.
How the fuck GWS did Mitch Duncan miss the whole preseason and look like the GOAT?
Thanks for leading. Just take that. Just...
Well, sorry, back to who scored the equal amount of points than him in Gary Ablett. Even Cam was saying he looked old during the preseason. So Cam was bagging a Geelong legend.
Gary Ablett was like the Ablett of old. He was pushing up on the wing, just getting a couple of cheapies here and there, push forward, you know, one goal, two. So if we do go ahead and with any more games for the season, he could actually be a viable option because he's now going to be real fucking fresh by the time we get to some football. So,
and can I say what value you would have got him at? Because no one would have touched him for the first 10, 12 rounds. And the traders have always said this because they did a couple of interviews early days when Swanee got the pig status. And their point was that Swanee told them, you know, all the established players, they don't care about the preseason. They're blowing out the cobwebs. It's not about how well they perform. Because they're fine within the team. They're just preparing themselves to get ready.
And where does Gary Ablett sit on the echelon of established players?
Yeah, slightly high.
He's here. He's here.
Yep.
Talk about washed, though. Yeah, can we talk about some washed players, Jono?
Take your pick. Take your pick. Manigola?
Nope.
Are you going Selwood?
Cam Guthrie?
You're setting up Selwood.
Oh, you'd hate to see it, don't you?
Selwood.
That's harsh. I actually thought he did all right.
He played all right. But Yeah, he didn't look great. Those GWS midfielders ran rings around him, though.
And just rings. Be careful on your captain matchups, because that De Boer tag is continuing every single game they play, and did a job on Danger like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, big time. But to go back to that Duncan, how the fuck he produced that off, you know, what was he, broken leg, fibula, tibula, you know, head, shoulders, knees and toes, like... If they'd played this week, coming up in round two, no way he backs that up.
It comes down to the goals, like those ancillary stats, three goals. Like, and I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the guy because he positions himself fantastically. He's a very experienced player, very good player. But without those goals, it's just a game. But it's still a hell of a game considering the situation he was in. 72% game time. My goodness. Now he gets 2 months to freshen up.
Now, can I say, speaking about goals, we can't forget to not pay the Perry man. How good was he?
He's good.
He looked good.
And he should have been everyone's target in ultimate footy with the defender status. So good for him. And like we mentioned all preseason, there was a lot of wing points up for grabs at GWS. So good for him.
And Kelly and Whitfield hurting a little bit with that less time? The prime runners?
Whitfield. Time.
He looked
more game time. Whitfield.
95%.
No. The shortened quarters means they can't accumulate late in the quarter when everyone else is tiring out.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Toby Green was good. I know he's got the four goals, but... He looked pretty good too. And Cam, fuck you, Darcy Fort season, or whatever the hell his name is, it's over.
Yeah.
He was absolutely monstered by Jacobs, and Reece Stanley will come back in.
Although I must admit, I was a little bit disappointed with Cogs scoring.
He did play a lot forward. He was forward quite a bit, so don't know if that had a bit of an impact, but... Well, it would have had an impact. But when you got... So many guys running through that midfield in what? Cornelio, Kelly, Green, Hopper, and now you've got a fit Callum Ward coming back in 2 months. Perryman.
Oh, I wouldn't even worry about that, Toronto. It's Toronto season.
Well, what have we got? 8 weeks off, and what was his injury? 4 to 5 months, wasn't it?
It's like half the year. He's fine.
He'll be back for finals.
Next week. He'll
be back for round two. Back for round two, he is. Nah, all good on that one. The next game would have been your boys, Steve, the Gold Coast Suns.
Fucking shit, mate. They were absolutely fucking shit. This is the worst. They were going so well in every area of the game except kicking the ball inside 50. They were absolutely fucking deplorable. It was hard to watch. But
and the scores actually show that too. There's some pretty fucking deplorable scores. That had come through. What's the best fantasy score? 84 from Took Miller.
Yeah, he was fine. Like, a lot of them were fine. It's just the other guys were, you know, like Rocky was good, Evert was good, Boak was good. Carl Amon, you know, man, you got to give the guy props. He really came out last year and he's continued it on. Dan Houston was nowhere for a lot of the game. Pau Pepper started really hot.
Hurt himself.
Trent McKenzie, actually, his first, like, 10 minutes was, like, he was, like, the best player on the ground for 10 minutes. Then the rest of the game happened, and, you know, that's fine. But it was, it was an interesting game. It was hard to watch just because the skill level from the Suns was so bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The whole Pau Pepper thing, he's actually done pretty well over the preseason and going into this round one. Is his role sustainable? What is it, like a high half forward wing type role? Or
spend some time in the guts too.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's just Toby Green Jr. or Toby Green Light, whatever you want to call it.
That's fair call.
Yeah.
I like him. I like the look of him.
Yeah, because I'm just saying, like, you know, look to your waiver wise because he might not have been drafted in a lot of teams. So he's pumping out.
And I hate to say scores. I hate to say it, but Doss's boy, Rosé, looked absolutely perfect.
He's
poor opposition at the moment, understand that, but this boy can play. So talking third and fourth and fifth year, he's going to be massive.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be your first-round pick within a couple of years, for sure. Yep.
With Rosie, does he hold the forward status, you think, or he
not longer term. Yeah, as soon as he's got the true tank, he's just so creative, so you want him around there.
Yep.
He'll probably rest forward, but I think he'll play more midfield.
Moving on to North Melbourne St Kilda, was actually a pretty entertaining game of football. Ben Cunnington, holy shit, just went absolutely full ham, got the upscale, kicked, I think, the goal to put him in front. Tony Goldstein against Marshall and Ryder was really good. Pollock did Pollock things. North just did seem to do North things. They were just good and solid, whereas I still don't know what to make of St Kilda. I still don't think they know what their best setup is. They were pretty much all over the shop, so... again, we've only seen 1 week, but I'm not liking what I saw, and I'm glad I didn't invest a lot of shares in St Kilda players.
Yeah, and I would agree. I didn't invest in St Kilda players, mostly because I didn't know what was going to happen. But you go back to... I love listening to the Champion Data guys, and I know Champion Data cop a lot of shade, but I love listening to their perspectives on the teams rather than the players. And their perspective is always... that percentage is a good indicator of the next year going forward. And St Kilda had a terrible percentage last year. And they had so many question marks about their team. And look, we got the scoop from the Pride that the feeling around St Kilda was good this year. So there might have been some positive expectations, picked up some big-name recruits or mature recruits at the very least. But I always thought they were just a super hard team to get a read on. Jay Gresham hurt doesn't help.
No, Hunter Clark though looked pretty good in his role there, floating around off the half back. So,
but does it matter? Does it matter?
That's it doesn't matter. I'm just saying he looked pretty good. So going forward, just keep that in your little diary there. Last two games quickly, we've got Hawthorn and Brisbane. Chad Wingert, was he playing pure guts or what?
Don't know. I missed most of Sunday. I saw little snippets of highlights and it looked like he was. So him, Shields, Warple and Mitchell looked like they were sharing the time. Scored brilliantly and probably one of these, again, I think it was Marsh 2. He just didn't look great, to be honest, but played extremely well. Lachie Neal on the other side was... pretty important for the Brisbane. McCluggage, I did laugh at only a 60. Another one of Doss's boys just going a little bit too early. But Mitch Robertson, Jared Lyons are playing their roles really well. Who do we have? Lukey Bruce actually surprised me. That's a great score, 74 in shortened game time against a pretty decent opposition as well.
Well, look at old Balls Burgoyne, 10 touches, 3 goals for a 70 and 128 Supercoach. Not too bad right there. So, again, all the scores were askew. So, and the last game was West Coast and Melbourne. I didn't see his time on ground, but what was Nick Nat's time on ground there? He got the 53A for fantasy and 100 Supercoach, but
only 60 minutes playing time out of 100.
Okay, so he was just above his 50% time that he was doing in a proper game. So, still knocked out the Supercoach ton there.
Just to clarify, 60 minutes out of 100 minutes is 60%. So, just in case that was a little bit complicated for you.
Hashtag math.
No, as I said, just above his normal 50% game time.
Yep.
Covering myself. Hashtag covered. Look, the West Coast Brigade, they were all fine. Gaff was doing Gaff things, just running around, just picking up possessions willy-nilly. Hearn off the, just running off the back line because Melbourne was just bombing it inside 50 with no clear target. So he was just
Sheed.
No, I didn't see him. Don't see him on my list at all.
He was brilliant, Dom Sheed, and certainly the ones that really hurt with the Tim Kelly structure was Elliot Yeo and Jack Redden. So Sheed got time, but he shared his time in the guts and in the forward line. So there's a chance for him later on in the season to actually get DPP opportunities here. But his game was superb and just found himself as the link player.
I will say Elliot Yeo is one of the greatest buy lows I have ever seen in my life.
Fair call.
Seven frees against.
Oh, really?
Seven?
I know all about Elliot Yeo and frees against because I thought in our categories.
There's 21.
Well, I thought that was in our categories last year. You had to get frees against to win that category. Oh, no. It was the opposite. So I picked up Elliot Yeo and guaranteed loss in that category every week.
Frees against. I always look for those ancillary stats. I think Elliot Yeo is a cherry ripe by low. Jack Redden can go fuck himself, but Elliot Yeo, yes.
Speaking about Jacks, how good was Viney?
He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. 132 Dream Team, 186 Supercoach, if you don't mind at all.
Can you remember only 5-6 weeks ago I was debating with you guys whether I keep Ellis or Viney?
And Ed Langdon looks like that missing link, the wingman that the D's have actually wanted. They were just getting it to him willy-nilly and pushing that ball forward. So, he's been a really good candidate this year. Track showed what he can do. Gorn was a bit down, but when you're up against Nick Nat, that's to be expected. Hibbard actually had a pretty good score. There was question marks on a few of the Melbourne defence. Hibbard was good. Brayshaw, yikes.
Yeah. I wouldn't touch Brayshaw with a plastic one. I actually think Gorn's an amazing buy low target, if you could consider him that. You got to remember the guy's missed a giant chunk of the preseason. He's come up against a ruck tandem. So you're telling me with two more months, Max Gorn isn't going to be fit and ready to tear home in the last stretch of the competition? I'm all about that life.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm. All right, that's the games. Now just moving forward, just going to have a bit of a chat. How do you think the fantasy gurus are going to work things going forward? Keep it the same? Cancel the season? What do you think your thoughts of what's going to happen with fantasy going forward?
I think Warney gave a few ideas through the Twitter listeners, viewers, readers. What are the Twitter people? Those in
social
the Twitter
media
sphere.
People.
And suggested a couple of different options that you restart the season after the break. So you reflash everything up. You give everyone just the two trades, or you look at something and having a cap of trades. So not a free-for-all, but possibly up to 10 trades when it comes back for round two, whenever that may be. So let's pretend it's week one of June, that after that 9-10 week break, that you actually have up to 10 trades. I think that's about the right answer. And although there are a few that have actually done really well round one, and look, to be fair, I'm actually one of those because I'm in the 700s. So probably the best start to a year I've actually ever had. So it's a really good springboard. So it's beneficial for me if everyone has less chance to catch up. But the reality is there's going to be a lot of change in 10 weeks. So I didn't put Blake Akers in my side because I knew he was injured 5 to 7 weeks. Well, come round two, Blake Akers might be playing on the wing, which would be the difference of me having a Bewley in there versus an Akers in there. So it actually changes the way you would have started. So there is the potential that we've played round one, and the teams for round two that you've only got 17 of your 30 players playing. So that can be a potential challenge for us all because we don't know what happens. People get injured, people nursing injuries, people getting the chance to get full fitness. So we talked about people not having a preseason. Well, some of them can actually have that now. So the teams might be dramatically different in round two outside what would normally happen from 1 week to another. So therefore, there needs to be for the competitions to have some form of flexibility so you don't disenfranchise half your competition. So if just pretend there's 100,000 in Supercoach, if only 50,000 of them can start 22 players in round two. A lot of them are going to shut up their teams. So you need to get the balance right of looking after those that started well, but they retain their score, so they've already got a head start, but also ensuring that you're gauging as much of the audience as possible. So there's a lot of things they need to work through, discuss, work out, and have a bit of an understanding of what the potential pitfalls could be if you make the decision wrong. So therefore, anywhere between 6 and 10 trades for everyone leading up to that one round before you lock out, and then you go back to what your competitions are, is probably the right move. Does that answer your question, Jono?
It does.
Yeah, and I think this is the big disparity between draft and classic competitions, because if we go back a couple of weeks, these outcomes were on the table. We spoke about these outcomes. They were every chance of happening. Classic, different game. Not going to lie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I you know, whatever they decide, that's what it is. We're all playing on an even field. If you got lucky and you started round one super hot and you're in the top 50, good for you. You can still change your team.
There is a world right now where Ollie Wines becomes the most valuable pick because you would have got him so late.
Sure.
And Stater, you're probably the man to answer this one. Now that they've played 16-minute quarters plus time on, does that stay for the rest of the year, or do you think the AFL just going, nah, fuck it, we'll do it whatever we want?
No, I think that'll remain the plan. It really depends on when everything flashes back up again, because I think I don't know, because not in the inner sanctum whatsoever, but I think the idea of the way I read the play here is they reduce the quarters to allow the capability of playing multiple games during weeks, shortened breaks, all that type of stuff, to manage the loads so they could ensure they got the 17-round season in. So I think that was part of the planning. So when they announced they were going round one, I think the idea was, we're going to have to stop at some stage because this thing is getting big, and this is how we manage the back end if we laid off for 8, 10, 12 weeks. If you're really smart, you're going to get some bargains in 2021. So it's actually really going to change the landscape. So it's a great opportunity. I'm so looking forward to it. If we've got a clean start to 2021 after a 17-game season, the data that we're going to actually get will not represent a full 20-minute game. So some of the subjects that we had with regards to who can score out quarters, that's going to make the drafts very interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait for 11 months' time, Stato.
Yeah, I am. I'm always thinking of the future, buddy.
Pre-order the draft kit now.
Yep.
With a free cookbook.
No, the cookbook comes with the free draft kit.
Fair enough.
Stato's, what are your Nutribullet breakfast recipe?
Boom, boom.
My God. That's worth $8 on its own.
I do have to ask you a pretty important question, Steve. You know, the harvest land has disappeared. What are you drinking now and how are you coping?
Yeah,
Panic buying of harvest land. What's happening?
Not well. I went to the Premix King, the Mighty King down in Portland, and they had three varietals of harvest land and they were all whites. The Mighty Dry Red was off the shelf. I've gone to the cooler bar. Now, I'm not going to say it's a bad drop because it's perfectly adequate, but it's $2 more. And you ration that out over the litres, that's 50 cents a litre more. What's going on? I'm the poorest man in fantasy football going through these difficult times, and the king just drops this basket on me. What's going on? I'm going to have to start a Kickstarter.
Buy Steve some Harvest Lane. It was just great watching the panic buying of booze on the... On the news. It's just fantastic. And
is that really hilarious?
Booze, people. Just,
it's hilarious because I was in the King on Friday. I was buying a couple bottles of the Place, great drop, the Place, and I was sitting around going, it's kind of weird. There's no one panic buying the booze, and sure enough, it did happen.
Yeah.
It did happen. It did happen. But there's plenty to go around, and worst comes to worst, we just make our own moonshine in the bath and go blind from drinking that. If we can do that. Like the old days. Prohibition. State, are you around in those times? Prohibition, hey! That's the word. Thank you. State, are you around in those times? What was it like?
I was still using the Nutribullet, mate, so it's all good for me.
Stato still.
There you go. There's a from the draft doctor. Stato still. Get yourself a nice Pinot. So going forward, look, we don't know what's happening. AFL has definitely shut down for the next 9 weeks, but we will be here each and every week. Look, we've talked about recipes. We've had suggestions from the listeners of what we can do. We can draft our favourite TV shows. Or, I don't know, just go to ranking season, just rank our best TV shows, pastas, bloody wines, whatever. Or we can just get together and just... thing is, the social distancing is in place. We can't get together and have a drink in person. We all just buy a bottle of Pinot and just get shit-faced and talk shit on the show for a good 45 minutes to an hour. What do you reckon?
Well, the only problem with me doing TV shows is I don't really know many TV shows.
And can I just have one message to the listeners? It's actually really important that you support your friends and family here, but it's also important that you ensure that you keep your distance. The way we stop things like this is to ensure that we do all the right things, which is about hygiene, which is about isolating, and you don't have to be not connected with people. So right now I'm sitting in front of a screen, still laughing, enjoying life, while I'm looking at Steve's head, and I don't know what you call that on Jono's shoulders, but we're still engaging, we're still connected, but we're just doing it from a distance, and it's just the right way to behave and perform right now. The sooner we beat this, and not think it's not going to happen to us, but the sooner we beat this, we can actually go back to actually enjoying all the things we like, which is Salt and Lane.
I'm actually closer than I've ever been to people, and it's too much.
Now look, I isolated. I put my wife into isolation. I've had enough of this shit. I can't do 8 weeks. So bang, spare bedroom, get out.
And there's a lot of people that are going to go through hard times, and it's part of this. While other people are hurting, the best you can do is help us all get over this, and that's the important bit.
Well, we used to go to the Franks and RSL for a palm every Wednesday. They've shut down now, and they've got God knows how many staff, and even actually, this is talking to our accountant today at my job. I'm like, we get shut down. I've got long service up my sleeve. Do I get paid? He's like, hard to pay someone when there's no cash coming through the door. So not every business is going to have, you know, a war chest of funds just to pay staff willy-nilly. So shit's going to get real, real quick, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's why we've just got to find a way to support people. And that's just as emotionally, because they're going through trouble. So well-being and mental health is hugely important thing in our society. This is a shocking time for a lot of people. And I'm very lucky in this situation where that's not going to be it, but I feel it really important that I find a way to reach out. So I don't know how many people I've contacted in the last 72 hours, but my phone's been going red hot, just ensuring people are A-OK. And I think everyone should try and do the same thing, but don't forget the hygiene and don't forget to isolate. Let's kill this thing quickly.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, that wraps it up for this week. As we said, we'll be back next week with the Draft Doctor's cooking tips, basic things just to get you through this hard time. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctor's podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.